No video today, huh? Okay. Okay, well, since there's no video, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 or chapter 3. And I don't know if you all need to really have to open your Bibles for this, but in case you forgot, let us read it again. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. These are the words of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever. So we're just a couple of days away from Christmas. And I imagine that all of you are either thinking about that last-minute gift that you got to buy, that shopping that you got to do, or maybe anticipating what's going to be under the tree for yourself. You know, it gets to the point where no matter how old you are, you still look under the tree. And we all try to find that perfect gift for our loved ones. We look at their list and we scour the stores and the malls and online, and we put hours into selecting what is the perfect thing for the person that you love. And we fret and we worry that the size will be right, or the color will be right, or if the new clubs will fit his swing. But God doesn't worry about what the gift is for us. It fits everybody. The color doesn't matter, and it is a gift that lasts. It doesn't break, fade, rust, or go out of fashion. It's the gift of his love. In these two verses that we've read this morning, we find them to be probably the two most remembered verses in the Bible. It was probably the first verse that you memorized. We see it proclaimed at all the football games, John 3:16. And that's great, you know. I've got nothing against it. But as we lit this morning's candle, it represents God's love for us, that gift that keeps on giving. And we need to examine this gift through the conditions of this gift of love. We need to examine it as in the confidence that we have in this love and the continuation of this gift. First of all, we need to look at the gift itself. What is love? In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul tells us that love is one of the three Christian virtues, and he calls love the greatest of the three. We're told that in 1 Peter 4:8 that love covers a multitude of sins. And Jesus says that loving your neighbor as yourself is the second greatest commandment. But these are examples of earthly love, right? What does God's love look like? And we saw it in John 3:16, how much God loves us, that he gave his only son. His Christmas gift to us was his son, born of a virgin, who lived, suffered, died, so that he could redeem us from the life of sin and live eternally with him. When we look at God's love as a gift, it really takes the pressure off of us to try and earn it. God's gift of love is his grace. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, But God, I love those two words, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And you can tell that I was brought up on the NASB because I said trespasses instead of transgressions. But that's okay. Look at the condition of the gift. There is no condition to God's gift of love. He loves each and every one of us, of those whom he chose before the foundations of the world. In Romans 5:8, Paul writes, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that one little verse, we can see that there is no way that we could earn God's love, because while we were yet sinners, we could not do anything that would merit any kind of love. Only thing that we could do was merit the hatred of God. If we were required to do something to earn God's love, and there are many religions and cults that teach this, you know, you have to, when you're 18, go on missionary journeys, or you have to give so much to the church, you know, it's prescribed by the church how much you're supposed to give, or you're supposed to receive all the sacraments, or all these things to try and merit God's love. If we had to rely on that, we would all fail miserably. There is not one among us who could live a life perfect enough, do the right things to earn the love of God. That's why Paul writes, while we were yet sinners. If there was one condition, though, for the receipt of this gift, is that whosoever believes in him. That's it. Belief. Have faith in Christ. And there is no unregenerate person who can do that. It is all a gift of God. Even your faith is a gift of God. God poured out his love on us despite who we are or who we were. For some of us, that's a pretty amazing gift. Who we were. And thank God we're not like that anymore. He called us out of the darkness of sin freeing us from the chains of a sinful nature, and accomplishing all this by sacrificing His one and only Son. That is why when we read this morning's text, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And then John continues with Jesus' words, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." We have to be very careful about this verse because there are those who want to misinterpret it. When it says, for God so loved the world, they want to turn that into the idea of universalism. And this idea of universalism has crept into the church almost from the very beginning. If you were part of our Sunday school class a few weeks ago, Pastor Brian talked about this heretic by the name of Marcion. And Marcion was the one who first put out this idea that everyone, even the devil, will be saved. So we have to look at these two verses together, which the universalists don't. And I said that there are certain conditions placed on us, and that's receiving God's love. Nothing that we can do to earn it, but there is that we have to believe in Jesus. And I said that even that is a gift of God. It is the work of the triune God that we are enabled to believe and be saved. It is the Father who, before the foundations of the world, chose us to be His. It is the Son who paid a price that we could not pay to redeem us from the penalty of death. And it is the Holy Spirit who works in us and changes our heart, that from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, that we can receive the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, and be saved. And all of that is a gift. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." This shows how it is a gift of God that we are drawn to faith in Jesus by the Father through the Holy Spirit. So what a great gift this gift of love is. So we have confidence in it now. Because of our receipt of this gift, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us so much that when He gave His Son in an act of unbelievable love, we did not and do not incur the penalty of our sinful lives. Because as Paul writes in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," but I like the second part of that, "but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We have the confidence in this gift. It's not like other gifts that you get at Christmas time that, a while back, I don't know if you can still do it, you can buy the portable GPS units that you'd stick in your car. I mean, now every car just about has them. But before, you used to be able to buy a GPS unit and it would tell you where to go. And sometimes you wound up in the middle of nowhere. and your confidence isn't that great in it. And it's, other gifts that we get, they break, they go out of fashion. And this, the confidence that we have in this is not, this gift of love is not the confidence that you have like your high school girlfriend who told you she loved you, abandons you and goes out with a taller guitar player and then starts talking smack about you, hypothetically. The gift that God gives us does not fail. The psalmist knew this when he wrote Psalm 73, verse 26. He says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never fails." There's a simple verse that you can all memorize. Love never fails. Or Lamentations 3:22 that says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases; His mercies never come to an end." God's gift of love is not conditional, and He does not recant His love. The problem with some denominations and religions is that God's love is conditional. You have to earn it. Well, if you have to earn it, you can lose it. And that is the most depressing idea that you can think of. That you could lose God's love or His salvation. Because, brothers and sisters, if you can, you will. There's no if in that. We have the confidence in God's love because He told us in John 10, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." In other words, God's love is so strong that nothing, including Satan, can snatch you out of His loving arms. Those that hold to the idea of losing your salvation and therefore God's love have really diminished the power of God. That something that you could do could make God not love you anymore. And that lessens the strength of God's love and weakens His perfect power. Now you got to remember, we go back again. God loved you first while you were yet unlovable, while you were yet sinners, right? God loved you back then, He loves you now, and He will love you later because His love never fails. That's why He called you and why He regenerated your heart. If He loved you as a sinner, He's going to love you now. And we read the verses in Scripture, and if you search throughout the Bible, you'll find many, many verses that attest to the love of God, that it never fails. But in case that's not enough for some of you, let's just go to the pure idea of logic. Let's begin with just a couple of presuppositions. First, that we can all agree on, God is perfect in all his attributes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And love is one of his attributes. So therefore, God's love is perfect. Nice logical train of thought. If then God's love is perfect, then it cannot fail. God cannot fail in anything. Otherwise, he's not God. So when we think about God, we cannot separate his attributes from his person. And there we get the perfection of his love. And this is where we get the confidence in his love. So we got the condition of it. We've got the confidence. Now we look at the continuation of the gift. Gifts that you receive this year, or that you have already received in the past, will break, or like those parachute pants that you wore in the 80s, will go out of style. But if we look at the last part of John 3:16, he says, but have eternal life. That is a gift that keeps on giving. God didn't give the life of his son for a season. He didn't give his son only to the Jews. He gave his son for the entire world, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Even though Jesus came and ministered to the Jews first, his atoning death was for all men of all races and all nationalities. Psalm 103:17 says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting from those who fear him. And the Lord, and Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared from afar saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. These two verses, well, let's take them together. They show how God loves you. Psalm 103 tells us that his love is from everlasting. That means before anything. Before he created the world, before he formed you in your mother's womb, God loved you from everlasting and then to everlasting. In other words, into eternity. That's a whole lot of love that never fails. It's an eternal love. And then we look at that verse from Jeremiah 31, and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, repeating that idea that God's love does not fail. And then he continues, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. We have that same idea in 103, that of everlasting love. But then we also see this idea of God drawing us. We saw this in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So again, we're looking at this gift of God, his love, that he draws us, that he wants us. But also, Psalm 31 does have that condition. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. This idea of fearing him is manifest in faith in Jesus. That everlasting love of God is lavished on those who fear Him. One of the biggest problems, I've got two problems. Well, I'm sure people who know me know I have more than two problems. But two problems scripturally is that there's coffee cup Christian sayings that just drive me up the wall. One is that we are all God's children. No, we are not. God's children are the ones those that He has adopted in faith in Jesus. The second one that drives me up a wall is that God loves everybody. And I'm going to tell you, and you might disagree with me, but hold on. God does not love everybody. And this is a mistake that even Christians will bring out. God loves everybody. But the Bible pretty much dispels this myth. Psalm 5, verses 4 and 5. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell within you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. Psalm 11, verse 5 says, the Lord tests the righteousness, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Many will tell you that the other one, there's another one here I like. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. R.C. Sproul is quoted saying, God hates the sin and loves the sinner. That's nonsense. God doesn't send sin to hell. He sends the sinner to hell because He abhors the impenitent sinner who becomes the object of His wrath. So where's the good news? Since we are all sinners, we are told all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're told that the heart is wicked above all things. No one is just, not one. Read the Bible. It tells you that a lot. And since we are told that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, what hope is there? If we are all sinner and God's word is true, then God hates us. But then we come to those two words that I mentioned earlier, but God. In Romans 5:8, Paul writes, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's right. Even though you were and are a vile sinner, and I use that term through the lens of God's perfection, God loved you from everlasting to draw you to Him, to put your faith in Jesus, that we may drown in the love that He lavishes upon us. This year, you'll probably get a lot of gifts from friends, loved ones, Santa Claus. But the gift that the Father wants to give you, that gift that does not fail or go out of style, is His Son Jesus, whose birth we will celebrate in a couple of days. That awesome love that God has for us, that he would give his only begotten son to pay a penalty that he did not deserve. But we do. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the book of James and what is true religion. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That good and perfect gift, brothers and sisters, is God's love for you. That's the good news. And we could put a period on that and say, wow, Pastor Jim, that was a great sermon. But it's not over yet. Because we are not made in God's image, and we are not created in the image of his son Jesus to just be recipients of gifts. We are to be givers of gifts. Givers to extend the love that God has had for us by preaching the gospel in season and out of season, telling people about this amazing God who loves you and how God can love them through Jesus. Now, we personally cannot save anybody. That's entirely the work of God. But we can give that the people the amazing gift of love by telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. And to wrap up, let me quote from 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Let's pray.